This is Ozarks at Large. Kindergarten, it isn't what it used to be. Due to programs like No Child Left Behind and Common Core State Standards, there's a trickle-down effect of pressures on higher grades into the lower grades. Daphna Bazak is an assistant professor of education policy at the University of Virginia. She researched and co-authored a paper, Is Kindergarten the New First Grade? The Changing Nature of Kindergarten in the Age of Accountability. Bazak recently visited the University of Arkansas campus to deliver a speech on the subject, and she stopped by the Carver Center for Public Radio. She says she went into her research by looking at to what extent has kindergarten changed over the decades.
For the last century, kindergarten has existed, and when it began, it wasn't as formally recognized as part of a school system. And so it was kind of a process for kindergarten to join what was the first to 12th grade system. Now we say K-12 as though, of course, kindergarten would be included in it. And so it's changed over time. And there have been a lot of questions about what the role of kindergarten is and what we're trying to get kids to learn in there. So whether it's around just basically learning to socialize and learning to interact with other children and discovery play, or whether there should be more of a focus on specific skill building.
You don't trace kindergarten all the way back to the last, for 100 years. You really just look at 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, so we actually are looking at a very short period. In the paper, what we did was compare what kindergarten looked like in 1998 to how it looked in 2006. And in part, we were looking at this short period because it kind of straddled a time when accountability pressures increased, where there were No Child Left Behind came into place, and also just a lot of other pressures around literacy at the elementary school level. And so we were trying to test the hypothesis that as schools have been more focused on accountability, kindergarten has changed over time. And we just wanted to see how much has it changed. Is that something that we kind of just have in our, is that a narrative that we have, or has it really changed substantially along concrete dimensions? So we look at things like, what do kindergarten teachers believe today relative to what they believed then? How are they spending their time? What does the curriculum look like? How much focus is there on assessing kids in literacy and things like that?
You mentioned time, and I remember there being, you know, half-day kindergarten. Some kids would go in the morning, some would go in the afternoon, and you did half-day kindergarten.
Right.
Is it full day?
Yeah, so there's been a very large increase over the past two decades in the likelihood kids are going to school for a full school day. And so when we started the study in 1998, it was roughly half of kids were going to full day and half of kids were going half. And then over a pretty short period of time, it went up to about 70%, and today it's closer to over 80% of kids who are going to kindergarten for the full day. So you're much more likely to have kind of a 8-to-3 experience than just a short 3-hour experience relative to what it was a couple decades ago.
And it's not all fun and games.
So
you're,
I think
a full day of...
It's a full day, and I think what we find is that there's a real thrust to the curriculum around literacy in particular. And so what we did in the study is look at how kids are spending their time as reported by kind of a large nationally representative sample of kindergarten teachers. And what we saw was that there was a substantial increase in the amount of time that teachers said they worked on literacy. So time on literacy in a week went up by about 25% in this period. And lots of other things went down. And so we see pretty substantial drops in the likelihood that kids are learning art, music, drops in their exposure to physical education. We see drops in the amount of time teachers report doing just kind of child-selected activities where the kids are choosing what they would like to work on, and even drops in science and social studies. So really a shift in kindergarten towards really a literacy-oriented experience. And even when we looked at what teachers report about their expectations for kids, they're saying in the more recent period, they're saying kids should really come into kindergarten already knowing their letters and their numbers and their shapes. And that's really in contrast to in 1998, where kindergarten teachers more thought that that was something that kids could learn while they were in kindergarten.
Well, I recently saw, you know, somebody had posted a video of their 2-year-old on Facebook, and the mom was drawing letters, you know, and saying,
sure.
Well, what letter is this? And the 2-year-old, he could recognize all of these letters.
Kids are curious, and they can learn things, and they love to learn things, both in literacy, math concepts, science concepts. They're inherently curious, and they can learn a lot more than we might anticipate. And so I don't think it's necessarily an issue to have high expectations for kids and to want to expose them to a lot. Part of why we're seeing these changes is because we spend a lot more time on the learning experiences of very young kids. You know, I had talked about kind of pressure from above to change kindergarten, but I also think kids are coming into kindergarten in to a large extent with a different set of skills than they were in the past. We have a ton more kids going to preschool than we did before, and so I think in part kids just know more at the beginning of kindergarten than they did in the past. I think the concern about our findings is more around how does this focus on literacy and on academics look in practice, and is it done in a way that is stressful for kids? Is it done in a way that makes kids anxious about going to school, or is it done in a way that's fun and engaging and kind of meets five-year-old children where they are?
What I guess concerns me is that kids aren't able to be kids, maybe. Are they kind of losing that time where they can be curious and, you know, and be a kid?
So I think that's a great question, and I think that's kind of the concern that people come to the trends in kindergarten, and that's what they're worried about, that we are stressing kids out too early, and that really some of the benefits of early childhood educational experiences aren't about learning specific letters or numeracy. They might be more around discovery and figuring things out on your own and just having fun and interacting and learning that way. I think we tend to make kind of the mistake of pitting being a child and being playful and then academics being on the other end as inherently not childlike and not playful. I mean, I think that when it's done right, you can have classrooms where kids are learning a ton and also it's very playful and they are not feeling like, oh, we are sitting down to do a lesson and it's not we're handing out worksheets over and over again. It's just that the learning experiences are embedded in what they're doing. So I think it's important to acknowledge that you can do both in a very effective way. I think the challenge is that teachers are under an immense amount of pressure, and oftentimes probably what ends up happening due to the pressure, due to the focus on literacy, is that it does become more of a stressful environment for kids and is about worksheets and is around kind of just paying attention and sitting still and listening to things more than many five-year-olds might be happy to do.
You did mention that in the use of time, that time spent on physical education, on PE, is going down. And in this day and age, we hear a lot about childhood obesity. You know,
sure.
Michelle Obama has launched initiatives for healthy eating in our schools. So less time, you know, when you know, it's a crucial age.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was, from our findings, one of the most troubling ones to us, just because we didn't have a great measure of time spent on recess, so we weren't able to compare kind of free time altogether. But we thought of PE as something that has been shown in the literature, both because of its impact on health outcomes and obesity, but also to have a great impact on kids' ability to focus and their ability to learn and their cognitive development. So if kids have time to run around and have that physical experience, they come back into the classroom more engaged. And I think any kindergarten teacher that I've talked to has said these kids need to have some time to run around and play. And so the drop in that was probably the most troubling, because it seems like there is a real crowding out of things that help sort of develop kids in a holistic way.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned No Child Left Behind. This year, you know, Common Core State Standards will go into effect in 45 states. You know, and those are standardized tests. And right now there are no tests for kindergartners. But how are they being assessed? And will these standardized tests trickle down to kindergarten someday?
So already in the data that we looked at, which was not even that was pre Common Core Standards, we see a really large increase in testing at kindergarten. And so we see that in 1998, in the survey that we looked at, they didn't even ask the kindergarten teachers about how much testing they did. They only asked the first grade teachers, presumably because that didn't even seem like a question you would ask a kindergarten teacher. Do you do standardized testing? In the later data, we see that the kindergarten teachers today are spending more time on standardized tests than the first grade teachers were back then, in that it's really been something something that has been immersed into the classrooms, and I think it is something that can be really potentially stressful. I think with all these things, it comes down to what are the standards, how good are the standards, are they things that we think are helpful for kids learning? And I think that the Common Core standards for early childhood, there's been an effort to be pretty broad in thinking about how do we think about kids' exposure to numeracy and how do we think about those things in a way that's broad and focused on more critical thinking and the kinds of thinking that a five-year-old is actually capable of and less about just specific facts and teaching kids to memorize things. So I think that there is a lot of emphasis on improving what it is we're asking of kindergartners, but it does crowd out a lot, and I think, you know, you hear a lot from kindergarten teachers.
I know that here in Fayetteville, I mean, our listening area is much more than just Fayetteville, but I know here in Fayetteville, I believe two of the elementary schools in the public school district have pre-K programs. So someday, is it going to be, you know, it's K through 12 now, but someday, is this going to be pre-K through 12?
Yeah, I mean, I think that in lots of places, that's where we are already. I mean, there's a huge emphasis on expanding access to high-quality preschool, the role of universal preschool, and in some states, that happens largely through the public school system. And so I think that in the same way that kindergarten over time was sort of immersed into the public school system, I think in lots of places, that's happening with pre-kindergarten as well. And I don't think that's inherently problematic if you keep in mind that developmentally, kids are in a very different place when they're 3, 4 years old than when they are 6 or 7. And you have to keep that in mind. You have to have instructors who have their training in child development and kind of understand what children's development looks like at that age and how to cater the instruction to that group. I mean, I think that where we get nervous is if you think about just kind of this focus on certain kinds of instruction, pushing out kind of a more holistic approach to young kids.
Well, so as somebody that is expecting my first child, and I mean, I'm already concerned with their education, him or hers. Should I be concerned if at 2 they don't know their alphabet and they can't recognize letters, or if at 5 they can't read, you know, an entire children's book?
I think absolutely not. I mean, I think that obviously there's a wide range of abilities. You know, when kids are 2 years old, the range of skills that kids have is huge. And you see parents getting so stressed out about, oh, well, I saw, you know, my neighbor's child or my sister's child do this and my child can't do that. And that really isn't taking account the fact that kids just develop at different rates and have different kinds of strengths. And obviously, lots of us went into kindergarten and preschool experiences that weren't focused on some of these skills and have turned out perfectly fine. I think kids learn at different rates. I think that it's a mistake to create an environment of stress around what very young children know, and you want to mostly be focused on having them enjoy learning and like going to school and want to be there and want to be a part of that program. At the same time, I think that there are lots of low-income families where the exposure to literacy and math content is very, very low. We know that exposure to these concepts is really important. We know that kids who get exposure to more words or get read to a lot or get exposed to math concepts early end up doing really quite a bit better later on. And I think that because there is kind of a huge disparity in exposure to those kinds of materials across socioeconomic status and different kinds of homes, I think it is kind of becoming more infused into preschool programs and kindergarten programs to try to provide that experience for kids.
Daphna Basak is an assistant professor of education policy at the University of Virginia. She recently visited the University of Arkansas campus to speak on the subject, Is Kindergarten the New First Grade? This is Ozarks at Large.